The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Tuesday, March the 4th, 2025. And I will introduce our panel, and you will decide later on whether it's distinguished or not. Wesley Wildman, good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. I'm here with the head cold, but I'm here for the audience, okay?
Oh, you're here for the audience?
Yeah, I just, you know.
Taking one for the team.
Taking one for the team. They've been asking about me.
Oh, is that why your voice changed?
That's right.
Because you got a head cold?
Yeah, I do. So just for anybody listening. But you can't transmit that through radio.
No.
So that's a good thing.
No, and you're, maybe but your voice
everybody sounds, beside me, though.
You're talking about a cold.
I got a head cold.
We don't want it. You got a head cold?
Yeah, I got a head cold.
Okay. Is it like? You can't.
You're just finding out about this.
But
on
you're
live
saying
radio.
You can't. Well, it doesn't matter because I've been kind of feeling. You know, I have my own issues. All right. So, Chris Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Are you healthy, Chris?
As far as I know.
Okay.
Until I'm out.
That makes two of us.
Check in tomorrow.
That makes two of us for now.
No, you can't. You can't. I don't think a head cold's contagious. You get that from changing weather.
Okay. Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. Speaking of the weather, there are many states today that are going to be impacted by severe weather, including our own here in Mississippi. We're like ground zero for severe weather today. I say ground zero. I mean, that's what the Weather Channel map showed.
Let me tell you what we got going.
What y'all got going on there?
This is weird. At the moment, it is 55 degrees and light rain, and we are under a blizzard warning.
A warning?
What? That's right. 55 degrees, and we're under a blizzard warning.
Okay, I understand what you would do in a tornado warning. What do you do in a blizzard warning? What do you do different?
You mean how much snow are you talking about here?
Well, it's the same system. It's the top end of the same system that's coming in through Louisiana and Mississippi.
Oh. Yeah.
Right now, we got warm weather and light rain. We're about to get terrible thunderstorms. They say we may get a tornado or two, and we're going to get a couple of inches of snow and high winds around 65 to 70 miles an hour overnight. So,
oh my goodness.
I know. It's a little – I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. The Chiefs lose the Super Bowl and the world falls apart up there for you guys.
All of a sudden, we're getting Philadelphia's weather here.
Yeah, I know.
Kansas City.
You get more of Philadelphia. We here in the Tupelo area are going to experience 30 to 40 mile an hour winds this afternoon, but not 70. Good night. Like what you guys are going to get. But what I'm describing is going to go from Louisiana. It's starting now, I guess, in Texas, Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee, and all throughout the South today. And I don't know whether it's going to be tornadic activity or not.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance for it. The further south you go from Tupelo, we're in the northeast corner of the state. The further south you go, the worse it's supposed to be. And that's not good news for the people at Mardi Gras, because right now Fox Weather is talking to a reporter who was live at Mardi Gras. So there are people literally on the street as a really bad storm may be heading their way at some point later this evening.
I don't think it's going to affect people at Mardi Gras.
I don't know that they'll care.
They'll just take another drink and
they may not even be aware there is a storm.
Yeah.
Move on down the street.
I'm giving this up for Ash Wednesday. I'm going to have a good time now.
Yeah. So anyway, we hope and pray that the weather doesn't kill anybody today, but it is going to be dangerous from where Ray lives, probably all across the eastern part of the United States.
But if you're a big fan of soup and grilled cheeses, you're about to get snowed in. Yeah, you'll be snowed in, and that's going to be
your meal. Well, the thing about what you're dealing with there, Ray, is what you guys and then the Midwest will be dealing with is the when you're talking blizzard conditions, you're talking about blinding snow, right?
Right. Okay. Right.
So you can't get out and drive somewhere.
And they basically said expect major power outages tonight because of the wind going to knock down the power lines and the ice.
Now, on your list, Ray, I'm going to get around to it. when I ask you about it from time to time, I say, do you have a generator?
Going to get around to it.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear it again. Going to get around to it.
Going to get around to it.
Going to get that's around right. to it. Going to get you around know, to it. My dad, when I told my dad that one time, he went and got me around to it. Have you ever got one of those?
I've seen that.
Yeah, I've seen them. Yeah.
He handed it to
me. Around to it.
Yeah. Here, son, here's your around. You say you're going to get around to it. Here it is. I got you one. I got you around to it. All right, a lot to talk about today. In Washington, D.C., this evening, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, will be addressing a joint session of Congress, mm-hmm. normally called the State of the Union.
Yes.
But, Chris, we don't call it that when a president is newly installed.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. It is a State of the Union, but we're not calling it the State of the Union because generally when it's a new president, the first one is a joint session of Congress.
Okay.
So it's
but that's the official. It's not called State of the Union.
Correct. It is the joint session of Congress.
So that's tonight. Mm-hmm. President Trump will be speaking. Now, Nancy Pelosi won't. She's a member of Congress, but she won't be sitting behind him.
Yes, yes.
So there's going to be – she's not going to be there to tear up the speech.
New era. We'll see whether or not Mike Johnson
– I don't think Mike Johnson's going to tear up
the speech. No, I don't think that's going
to happen. And I don't think Jeffries – what's his name?
Hakeem Jeffries.
Hakeem.
Now, people are going to be watching Democrats because there's been all kinds of speculative stories on what Democrats may do because oftentimes during a speech, the cameras cut away to members in the audience. There have been stories from a number of news outlets and citizen journalists, keyboard warriors on X, formerly known as Twitter, that are saying all kinds of things, including Democrats may invite some of these fired federal workers to be their special guests with them during the crowd. Some people were pushing last night for Democrats to wear the same colors as the Ukrainian flag, because that is supposed to be one of the many issues President Trump is going to talk about. We also can tell you that he will touch on things like illegal immigration and efforts to curb that with ICE. The economy will be an issue because he and Republicans want to get tax cuts done and do some other things in the way of ushering in what Trump promised would be the new golden era of America.
Well, listen, I don't know what the Democrats will do tonight. How they will react. Republicans in the past, you know, they sometimes been disrespectful of rare occasion. So that does happen. But I think by and large, the members of Congress, be they Democrat or Republican, you know, are civil. Yeah, are civil and can behave themselves. And I don't want to see, Ray, our Congress devolve into what they have in the British Parliament, where they
all the shouting and the pandemonium and everything.
They just shout at each other and curse. And I mean,
it's a free for all.
It's a free for all.
It's venting.
I don't, you know, they're used to that, I guess. I don't particularly care for it myself. If I'm going to be there to disagree with whatever the,
you should probably save that for another day. This is his moment.
I would just sit there.
Update.
Yeah. I would just sit there. I wouldn't applaud. I wouldn't stand if I disagreed with whatever it was he was saying. But anyway, so it'd be President Trump speaking to the joint.
So is there a particular timeline here? If you're wanting to tune in, are we expecting?
Yeah, what time does it come on?
I'm looking here. My screen went dark. It is coming on this evening in prime time.
8 o'clock Central.
Believe so. Yes.
8 o'clock Central, is it a 30-minute, 45-minute, an hour? What do we expect? Or is there
We're
even a time
talking Trump
limit?
Here, Wesley.
I would say it's at least 60
rhetorical
minutes.
Rhetorical questions for the audience.
Yeah, I would say it's at least 60 minutes. Most of these kinds of addresses, whether they're called the State of the Union or joint session of Congress, run about 90 minutes
okay.
from start to finish. I did joke in the Today's Issues meeting that if both sides really want to up their poll numbers, they could be quiet, let him do his thing and knock it out in about 15 minutes, and then we could all go back to watching our regularly scheduled television program.
Okay, so we'll come on at 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern. Personally, I think they should bump that up an hour, Ray.
Yeah.
Don't you?
It's a little bit late on the East Coast. Means it's not even going to start on the East Coast until, what, that'd be 9 p.m.
Bedtime.
Is the average American interested in this, or is this like politics? Or, you know, just something they say, oh, yeah, I'm not interested in watching that.
If what happened with Zelensky in the Oval Office, if that hadn't happened, I would go, I think most Americans, honestly, this is how tuned in I am. Tim, I didn't know till last night that Mr. Trump was speaking tonight.
I didn't either, and I pay attention to the news.
It flown over my head. But, you know, it's getting a lot of coverage this morning. And Mr. Trump's got to say something about Zelensky and Ukraine. We've got to get his detailed thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. So I imagine just because of that, more Americans will tune in than usual. Well, plus, it's Donald Trump, and you never
his first know. Time. His first time this presidency to speak.
That's right.
At a quote, I say quote. It's a State of the Union in another name. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Mr. Trump says tonight, because he's been able to do a lot since he was inaugurated. So there's a lot he can talk about. But with respect to the Ukraine and situation there, and his meeting last Friday that went berserk, so to speak, with Zelensky at the White House. You know, I don't know what. It'll be interesting to see what Mr. Trump now says. What has happened in the last 24 hours is this. There was money that was designated, that is designated and approved by the Congress before the president, Trump, was elected, that was to go to fund the war effort in Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
and help them in their war against Russia. And that money, President Trump has paused. I don't know that he can stop it, because it's already in the pipe, so to speak, but he's paused it. And I don't know that Chris, President Trump or the White House, have they said why they did that?
Yes. A White House official said Tuesday that Trump is focused on reaching a peace deal and wants Zelensky, quote, committed to that goal. The official added that the U.S. was pausing and reviewing its aid to ensure that it is contributing to a solution. By the way, there are stories today from Newsmax and a few other news outlets that say Zelensky is still in favor of doing a minerals deal, which could be the pin to all this.
We talked about this yesterday on the program with Jenna Ellis here. Brother Tim here, and I am speaking in third person, I do not understand this minerals deal connection to ending our funding of the war. I don't know what one has to do with the other. Or does it, Ray? Do you understand what's going on here?
Well, there are two things going on, as I understand it. Number one, we want to get something back for all the billions we've put into Ukraine, right? We want to get a return on our investment. That's one thing. The other thing is that by signing this deal, it means that American workers are going to be over there, American technicians, American business people working on getting these rare earth minerals and dug out and shipped over here to the U.S. That's supposed to be, I guess you'd call it, Tim, a layer of security in this sense, to make Mr. Putin think twice before he launches another full-scale invasion of Ukraine, because there's going to be a lot of American advisors and business people over there. I think it's something like that. It's something that by signing this deal, it's partly to make Mr. Putin scratch his head a little bit and say, well, maybe I better think a little bit before I invade Ukraine again. Is it a security guarantee? No, but I suppose you call it a step toward a security guarantee.
Well, maybe President Trump will explain it tonight, like I'm a third grader.
Yeah.
Because I don't get it at all. I do get both independent of one another. I get President Trump has said, right, Wesley, that we don't have any more money to fund the Ukraine.
Right.
Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
And we're not giving them anymore, right?
Right.
Okay, that's I don't know why President Trump just didn't say that at that meeting last Friday, looked at Zelensky and said, sir, or, well, President, he didn't say sir to anybody, but well, let's see, how would you say, whatever he calls
sure.
Zelensky, President Zelensky.
Vance called him President Zelensky.
Okay, so President Zelensky, I'm glad you're here today, and as I've told you, we have no more money to give you, and you're going to have to look elsewhere for it. And but we wish you the best
right.
in your attempt to stay free of Russian conquer,
yeah,
whatever that word is, of being conquered by the Russians. Mm. Best of luck, buddy.
Yeah.
And then say, once you figure out a peace deal. This is Trump talking. Once you figure out a peace deal with Putin, come back and see me if you still have a country, because we would like to do a minerals deal with you, whereas we send American companies over there to help mine these minerals, and we'll pay the Ukraine, pay you for it. We'll do a joint venture
yeah.
business deal. So to me, that makes more sense, what I've just described.
Yeah, I was trying to see the problem with that. I don't see a problem.
Then trying to meld some kind of this. Okay.
Maybe he's taking advantage of the situation.
I'm going to speak crudely, okay, here. Not profanely, but I'm going to speak crudely. What this appears to me to be is that Zelensky's house is on fire, and Trump says, I'll help you if you'll give me the refrigerator.
Yeah.
So that's not a bad way of putting it, actually.
Okay.
Right.
That's what it looks like to me. So I just think they're two independent issues. I think if Trump wants to initiate a business deal with Ukraine, that's great, because we do need those minerals that he's talking about. And so Trump's looking out for our country.
Sure.
But the idea that you're going to, when you start talking, using the word security in return for a business deal of minerals, I infer from that security from who? Security from Putin.
Right.
And his
sure.
armies. Okay. Sure. How do you do that? You continue to fund the war.
But you get something out of it, though.
But then Trump needs to say that. He needs to say, I'm willing to continue to fund the war if I can get something out of it for my country. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying.
Otherwise, I'm confused about, I really am confused about what, I'm sure President Trump's not confused, and I'm sure he will explain it tonight, yeah. what he's talking about exactly. Otherwise, I just don't know where these two things merge. Because when you say, and I do think that's what Ray Zelensky's looking for from his
sure.
point of view. From his point of view, he doesn't want to say, hey, let's do a business deal while my country's on fire.
Right.
He wants to say, I'm willing to listen to you, Mr. Trump, about a business deal if you'll help me beat back the Russians.
Sure.
Yeah.
But if Trump doesn't say, I'm willing to help you beat back the Russians,
but it, have,
then he's not, then the Zelensky's going to say, well, why not I want to do a business deal with you? Go ahead.
Has it not been a fact that the Trump administration is wanting for the war to stop where it is, and for Zelensky to concede what they've already taken and just stop now? I mean,
yes.
Okay. So then,
I think that's true.
So there, apparently there's still negotiation going on, and neither sides are.
Well, here's the part that Mr. Trump is leaving out that I think would help explain everything.
Yeah.
Tell us what you've talked to Putin about.
Yeah.
Because we know that you don't like Zelensky, right?
Right.
And you don't want to fund the war anymore, which most Americans agree with that.
Right.
But tell us the other half. Mm-hmm. What have you talked to Vladimir Putin about that makes him willing to agree that a minerals deal for the United States is something he could go along with, mm-hmm. and that he would pull back his troops. And what are the conditions that he has agreed to?
Yeah.
You think that's fair, Ray?
Yeah, it's 100% fair. You know, one of the complicating factors is that Zelensky said, hasn't he been in Europe the last couple of days?
He's a desperate man.
Yeah, he went back.
He said this war is going to go on for a very, very long time. That's the last thing Donald Trump wants to hear. He wants to hear, Mr. President, let's make a deal. Let's get peace. Let's end the war. And Zelensky's saying, no, this war is going to go on for a long, long time. You almost have worldviews that are in conflict there. Mm-hmm. If one guy's saying, I want your aid, and we're going to need it for a long, long time, and the other one is saying, let's make the best deal we can now and end this war, it's hard to get those two sides together around
the same time. Well, I think what Zelensky would argue was, if we have the resources, we can beat back the Russians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's what he believes.
He does. I think he tried to make that point in the Oval Office showdown.
I think he's a desperate man, and he's looking for help anywhere he can find it, and he feels all alone, and he knows now that Trump is not going to be his friend. And again, I'm not faulting Mr. Trump on telling him no, because Mr. Trump was voted on not getting us involved anymore in wars, mm-hmm. right? That's one of the big issues. Am I right?
He said he was going to bring it into.
Okay, this is not anything new. For Trump's position. So I think what Zelensky's thinking is, I got to move on from depending on America, and I'm going to look to Europe, and maybe they'll help me.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't help him financially, then probably his country will fall to the Russians, and the Ukraine will be part of the Russian Federation.
The BBC is showing video right now of the British Prime Minister, who was just in Washington last week around the same time that Zelensky was. They were all smiles and, you know, handshakes and hugs and whatnot between the British PM and Mr. Zelensky, who, by the way, was wearing his fatigues like he often does when he visits foreign leaders.
Okay, about Zelensky wearing the fatigues or whatever and the shirt and not wearing a Western suit mm-hmm. or a suit. I read about what he said about that. He said, I don't mean any disrespect. He said, but I'm identifying in solidarity with my soldiers. They're fighting a war, and so I choose to dress like they are.
Yeah.
That's what he said. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't doubt that. A reporter did ask him in the Oval Office the other day, do you own a suit? And he didn't share that sentiment. The thing that looks bad for Zelensky with the average American is your country is at war with a major superpower, and you're jet-setting around the world to go to all these parties.
But he's not going to Cancun.
Well, he has time, though, for like a Vogue photo shoot with his wife and things. It looks bad to the American that we're being expected to pay for this, and you're traveling around the world while your guys are at
war.
Yeah,
but okay, but you got to travel around to meet with people who will give you money.
That is true. Yes, that's a fair point. Yeah.
Yeah, Zelensky's desperate, and he's trying to raise money to save his country. That's what he's trying to do. And who wouldn't?
And at some point, one or two things are going to happen. And not just to state the obvious, either he's going to get on board with the plan that Trump and his team's presented, or he's not, and he's going to be left alone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. That's what I think. He's coming to that realization.
Yep.
And further enhanced that realization by the fact that Trump paused the money.
Yep.
Yesterday, that was supposed to go to Ukraine. But whether Ukraine can survive without help from the Americans remains to be seen. So we'll have to see. But I do think it would be helpful if President Trump now would say, okay, I've talked to Vladimir Putin, and here's what he's willing to agree with.
Yeah.
You know where Ukraine stands. Here's where Russia stands, and this is what I'm trying to work out.
Well, I look All forward right. to getting some more answers on this tonight.
Hopefully so. Yeah. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor five ultrasounds. And now, through a match, your gift is doubled. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for joining us on AFR. Momentarily, we're going to visit with Sean Milner. He's the president of the Baptist Children's Village in the state of Mississippi and has a fascinating personal testimony of having grown up in the Baptist Children's Village himself, and now he is the president of the ministry. It's a great story of God's grace and power in somebody's life. But before we do, Fred, you stepped into the studio to say there is breaking international news.
Absolutely. This has to do with Ukraine. Back several hours ago, President Trump announced he was pausing all military aid to Ukraine. This in the wake of what happened. Everybody knows what happened last Friday at that Oval Office meeting. All right. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has just issued this statement. He said the Oval Office blow-up with U.S. President Donald Trump was, quote, regrettable, and that it is time to make things right. He says our meeting in Washington, I'm quoting here from Zelensky, our meeting in Washington at the White House on Friday did not go the way it was supposed to be. It is regrettable that it happened this way. It is time to make things right. We would like future cooperation and communication to be constructive. He said Ukraine is ready to sign a deal on its rare earth minerals that was sought by the Trump administration. Regarding the agreement on minerals and security, Ukraine is ready to sign it in any time and in any convenient format. We see this agreement as a step toward greater security and solid security guarantees, and I truly hope it will work effectively, end quote.
Wow.
Yes.
That's big, big news.
So 180.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 180 degrees from last Friday. Yep.
We will. This is the speechwriters for tonight are Ray. They got the white ink out and the red markers going.
That's right. Okay, cross out that paragraph. Cross out that. Better reword this really fast.
So you think it's safe just to let Trump wing it, Ray?
No.
Okay. Don't let him wing it tonight. Go ahead and write the speech out.
Well, let's put it this way: they can write the speech. Mr. Trump's going to say whatever he's going to say anyway, right?
But on that address, though, he typically sticks with the script. Trump, because he does have great speech writers. But it is going to be interesting to see what he says tonight in light of this. He may just be brief about it and just say, well, we've just learned the good news, and we'll have more details in the coming days.
Yeah.
He might say something like that.
It's the art of the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what. Now the pressure's not on Zelensky. Now the pressure's on Trump.
Yes.
Because this deal, now it'll be up to Mr. Trump to explain what the deal is.
Yes.
And how it affects the security of the Ukraine.
Yeah.
And is Putin good with U.S. supplying security for Ukrainian people?
Yeah.
But that's what's going to ultimately come down. What is the definition of security?
I don't think Zelensky would agree to it if he doesn't think it means protection from military or otherwise.
Trump's interpretation as of last Friday, security agreement is that we will have U.S. companies mining these precious metals. And he has said he does not believe Putin would do anything to break a ceasefire.
Well, cross that bridge.
That's chapter two.
Yeah.
I know this is all going to work out in the end. It just sounds crazy to me. Oh, the way we'll make things work is while the bombs are flying, we'll just put some engineers out there in the field and
tell them to go dig up some uranium.
So dig up and maybe Putin will stop shooting.
We're going to have construction boots on the
ground. I don't know. We'll see.
That's right.
I'm sure President Trump will clear it all up for us tonight. How about that?
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. All right. Thank you, Fred. That is a big announcement.
Yes, it is.
From Zelensky and the Ukrainian government.
Yes.
Huge. Big announcement.
Huge.
Hey, Ray, just real quickly, you spent time in the Ukraine
right.
a couple times, right?
Yes.
What were you doing over there?
Over there doing some Bible teaching. Working with churches over there, teaching at the Bible Institute, landed in Kyiv and went to a Word of Life Bible Institute just outside Kyiv. And beautiful country, love the people of Ukraine. And got to say, the Ukrainians in the last 3 years, clearly Putin underestimated them. He thought the tanks would roll in and the Ukrainians would roll over. But I could have told him that's not the way they are. They are a very tough, proud people, 1,000-year heritage over there, and wonderful country, beautiful.
Well, you know, and a lot of Americans have adopted children from the Ukraine.
Yes.
Over the last 25, 30 years, right?
Yes. And they call Ukraine the breadbasket of Europe, and there are all these minerals there.
Right.
I'm not going to call this a victory for Mr. Trump, but this is almost the inevitable next step after the— can we call it the debacle? Is that okay? What happened last Friday in the Oval Office? Nobody wanted that to happen, but this is almost the necessary next step. Cooler heads prevail. Yeah. Somebody talked to somebody, and Mr. Zelensky's going to come back and make the deal. It's all good.
Yeah, you know what I mentioned? I mentioned Monday, and I really believe this, that it hurts Zelensky that English is not his primary language.
Yes.
Because if you watch him talk, he knows just enough English to be able to speak where we can understand what he's talking about.
Sure.
But he has to think and process almost everything he's saying, and he's inarticulate at times. And he got into an unnecessary argument and spat with Trump and Vance the other day that he didn't need to, and now he did an apology, basically.
Yeah,
saying I shouldn't have done that, and we want the deal that President Trump has offered us. As I said, most world leaders use interpreters. China, Russia,
they
use interpreters on something serious matters. But Zelensky does know English, and he does speak English, but he can use words that make it awkward to understand what he's talking about exactly. Like, for instance, the other day he goes, Trump's talking to him, and Trump's scolding him, like, don't tell us how we're going to feel, and don't you tell us. We're going to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you tell us. And Zelensky's over there going, God bless, God bless, God bless, God bless, God bless. And you're going like, what does this mean, you know? So anyway, the whole world hopes and prays that this is going to be the first step in a peace agreement that will stop the killing in the Ukraine. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. We had a guest this morning at our staff devotion, Steen Miller. Steen is from the Jackson, Mississippi area where he resides. Well, he is the president of the Baptist Children's Village. Good morning.
Good morning, Steen. Tim. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming up and doing devotion for our staff, and you've done some other interviews here for us at American Family Radio this morning. Now, I said you live in the Jackson area. Is that true?
I live in Clinton, which is right next door to Jackson.
Yeah, yes, and you've lived at, tell us about the Baptist Children's Village. Most states where the Southern Baptist churches are and other denominations do similar things have, is it an orphanage? Is that what you would call it?
I would not call it an orphanage as we understand the old use of the term orphanage, where both parents have passed away, and so the kids have nowhere to go and they have to come live there. Do we have those orphans in our care? Yes. But this is more of a service to the orphans as defined in the Bible. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the word was yatham. In the New Testament, it was orphanos. Those words never meant that both parents had passed. Those words mean that the child is left without a protector, without a comforter, without someone to pass on an identity, without someone to train them. That term would be appropriate for the children and the families that we serve.
How many children are in your... the village is really villages, right?
I mean,
you're spread out across the state, right?
That is correct. We have several different programs, residentials just being one, but last year I believe the total number of children that we served throughout the state was 456.
Wow.
Inside our residential campuses where children actually come to live with us, I think that number is around 70.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about what it is every year.
So you're the president, but you were telling our staff this morning you lived in the Baptist Children's Village yourself for a long time, right?
I did. I lived at the village, and I hold the record, formally the record, for living at the Baptist Children's Village longer than any child in its history. I lived there for 18 years. I went when I was 5 years old, and I left 18 years later
after I graduated. What happened to you, if you don't mind me asking, how did you end up there? I don't mean end up in a pejorative way. You know
sure,
what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. I understand, Tim. No problem. Most of our children come from at-risk backgrounds. In my own family, there were 5 Milner children. There were 4 Milner boys and 1 Milner girl. My father, he was a criminal. He would get put in prison in one city or state, and then he would get out and move his family across the country. My oldest brother was born in Pensacola, Florida. My baby brother was born in Sacramento, California. When my baby brother was 5 days old, I was 2 at the time. I don't remember this event, but I've been told about it by my mother and my siblings. My oldest brother at that time was probably 7 years old. So my father set us on a park bench in Sacramento, California, and left us there with no car, no money, no anything.
You're kidding.
And so my mother had to beg, go to churches, charity, get train fare to get all of us back to her hometown, which was down in Port Gibson, Mississippi.
Mm. This would have been what, in the 70s? Or?
This would have been, that would have happened in 60, I was 65. That would have happened in 65. She got us back to Mississippi. That would have been 67. I'm sorry.
Right.
Because when I was 5 years old, I do want everybody to know that I had my mother until I was a sophomore at Mississippi College. She was a severe alcoholic, and alcoholism took her life when I was a sophomore in college. But when I was 5 years old, life got to be too big, and she screamed out for help one more time by pulling a trigger. I can remember pulling her back into the house with my other siblings, my brother Bruce, who lives here in Tupelo, Mississippi, running 2 miles to the nearest house that had a telephone to call for help. That's when the village showed up, and we became part of the Baptist Children's.
Is his microphone working okay? Brent, I want to make sure that Sean's microphone is working fine. It just sounded like it was cutting out a little bit on me. Wow. It's only by the grace of God you're sitting here today.
It is.
You
it
know
is
that.
By the grace of God.
And then what God did with your life. Why didn't you? So you went on to graduate from college.
Right.
Start your own life.
Yes.
You shared with us this morning. Staff devotion, you said God gives us a calling, all of us in our life, whatever it may be.
Whatever it is.
But then he doesn't promise it's going to be a bed of roses.
Right.
And you know that all too well.
Yes.
Did you ever say, or you probably did 1,000 times along the way, why is this happening?
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of people facing very, very difficult circumstances, why does this happen to me? And our house parents were good to read the Bible to us. And to be honest, Tim, when I was young, you know, that it took a while for me because, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, I have plans for you, declares the Lord. And I was thinking, hey, if he's got plans for me, he don't know what he's doing, but in my opinion, he probably doesn't exist. So God worked in my life, and there's those kind of questions. And then you come to the realization, no, he's here. And the question of where he was sitting on that park bench. Mm. He was sitting on the kitchen floor. He was with me when I doubted him. And then he continued to work in my life through the hands and feet of his children.
So how did you get to be president of the very Baptist Children's Village that saved your life?
Yes.
How did that happen?
When I left college, I ended up going back to law school. I had my own law firm for 23 years. I practiced law.
What kind of law?
The village needed it.
Because I want to see if I like you or not. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. Real estate law, I'm good with you, man. But, no, I'm just kidding. We need Christians in all forms of the law.
In all forms.
That's right.
Well, the village
go ahead.
Became in need of an executive director. And I had stayed in touch with the village. I was very close to them. And so when the opportunity came along, I could not say no. I sold my law firm to my law partner. And
how long has that been?
That was on November the 1st of 2016. So I've been there now 8 years.
Amen. Talking to Sean Miller, president of the Baptist Children's Village, how can people
I got a question.
Yeah, we're going to get to your questions, but I want to get some important stuff in before the hour runs out. Because you came to Tupelo to do this interview, I know, because you like me, but you came here too because it's your job to promote the needs of the Baptist Children's Village. What is your I know there are people listening across America who aren't Mississippians, but for those listening who live in the Magnolia State and are listening to this, and you may have, you wouldn't have to live in Mississippi to do what we're about to talk about.
Right.
What is that? What is that big need?
Our number one need at the Baptist Children's Village, the Bible is absolutely true. The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Our biggest need at the Baptist Children's Village is house parents, those people that are called out by God to come and actually live inside the home with our children, to be the parents for these kids, to make sure that it's like a home, to make sure that they see a Christian couple in the image of God, demonstrating for them what a family looks like, who can love them, who can help them, who's patient with them. So if anybody wanted to be called to missions, but they can't go overseas, they want to do something here and they're willing to work with children, give us a call and let us
explore it.
Explore that with you. We're going to pray with you about it. We're going to work very hard to find out, hey, is this the real right place for you or is it not? And so if anybody feels like that, that would be our number one.
How do they get in touch with you?
The Baptist Children's Village, you can call us on our phone number, 601-922-2242. Let us know that you're interested in being a house parent. We'll get you to the right people. Or come on our website. You can fill out an application on our website. And that address is www.baptistchildrensvillage.com, or it may also be bcvms.com.
Say www again. That was so Southern.
www.bcvms.com.
All right. So is this similar to foster care, or is it? What's the difference?
Very good question. We call it foster care on steroids.
Okay.
And here's why. So many people become foster parents, and these are godly people. And if you have somebody in your church that does foster care, please wrap yourselves around them and support them because they're really, really serving, being the hands and feet of God.
Amen.
What the Baptist Children's Village is able to do is we're able to take larger sibling groups to hold larger families together. We have a case manager on every campus all the time. We have a campus director on the campus all the time. And so there's a whole lot of resources surrounding the house parents, so they're not out there by themselves. Foster parents, they still have to work outside the home, so kids have to come home. They have to be cared for. Maybe they're teenagers. They're at home by themselves until the foster parents get home. That's not the way it is at the village. The house parents, this is their full-time job. So the kids are provided with 24/7 supervision. There's always somebody there with them. So, yes, it's like foster care, and I'd call it foster care on steroids.
And who's eligible for this opportunity?
The children, we have so many different ministries, but I'm going to deal with the residential ministry first. We accept children from 1 year old all the way to as long as they haven't graduated from high school or turned 18. Now, having said that, one of the newest ministries we're going to kick off after the school lets out this year is our independent living program. And that is for kids who are aging past 18, or maybe, you know, everybody knows that an 18-year-old is the smartest person on the planet, right? And so they all leave when they're 18. Well, they get out there, and then they learn reality. Right. This is a way for them to get back in. We can help get them through college, get them job training, get them vocational training. So that's...
You also mentioned another important thing you wanted to stress, and that was the people who want to make financial donations can get a credit, right?
Yes. The Mississippi legislature has just been absolutely fantastic with us and agencies like ours. But for individual donors, if you're an individual or if you're a business corporation, you can donate one half of whatever your income tax liability is to the Baptist Children's Village, and now you only owe the state the other half. So if this is not a deduction. This is an absolute dollar-for-dollar tax credit. Wow. So whatever you think your income tax liability is, you could donate half of that to us, and you can call us. We'll walk you through all the everything that you need to make that happen, because that is another significant need. And expanding our ministries and everything we're doing, of course, it costs money. And so this is a way. This is a way that you can donate and it not change your budget, because this is money you're going to give to the state anyway.
Right.
We're talking to Sean Milner from the Baptist Children's Village of Mississippi. He's visiting with us today. One other question I have, and then Ray Pritchard may have a question. One question I have. When you were talking about you and your siblings, there were five of you total?
Five of us total.
And you're what ages? I'm talking about the Sacramento bench.
Oh, my baby brother was two. He was 5 days old. I was 2 years old. And then it went 3, 4, and 5.
And you're sitting on a bench in Sacramento, California, 2,000 miles from your mom's home. Your mom's there.
Right.
And that's just, and here you are today talking to us when you, you know, you could have, so many bad things could have happened.
Yes.
You know what
bad
I'm saying?
Bad decisions could have taken, yeah.
It's absolutely the grace of God.
Because your dad walked away. Did you ever hear from him again?
Actually, he showed back up at one time, and we tried to live with him, and then he disappeared when I was 8 years old. And I did not find out about him until about 5 years ago, and he had passed away in Arizona.
So your mom's trying to take care of y'all, get you back to Mississippi. But she herself struggled with alcohol,
right?
Ism, and just your siblings, if I can ask you, the day.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to them?
My oldest brother actually lives here in Tupelo, Mississippi, Bruce.
Okay.
The guy that ran to make the phone call. Then my sister lives in Meridian. My brother under her just retired from a insurance company. He was a claims adjuster his whole time. Actually went to college on a football scholarship at MC. Then it was me, and then it was my baby brother, James. And my baby brother, James, was shot and killed at a very young age.
Gotcha. Well, what a remarkable story. Somebody needs to make a movie about y'all's life. That's just a Christian movie.
Yeah, to glorify God for what he's brought you through. Yeah. So, obviously...
Ray may have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
Ray?
You know, I don't have a question, Sean, but I just want to say thank you for sharing, because we cover so many of the problems of this world, politics and all the rest, and we forget sometimes to lose sight, or maybe it's just easy to think that politics is what this world is all about, but you've reminded us it's the power of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God is in the redeeming and reclaiming business. And would you share for our listeners one more time your website? Because I want to encourage all of our listeners to to go to your website and check out this wonderful ministry. So share that with us, if you would.
Absolutely. It's www.baptistchildrensvillage.com or www.bcvms.com.
Wesley?
Can't say it any more southern than that.
No, I think people in Michigan right now are going, what letter was he using right there?
What letter?
Somebody's going to have to interpret that.
We're going to post it on our Facebook page.
I got it on there for you. I posted that as well as your bio page and the child tax credit or the tax credit information mentioned there.
Thank you.
It's on our page.
All right. Well, Sean, thanks for stopping by and visiting with us, sharing with our staff and sharing with our listeners. This incredible story, and you know, God brought you full circle.
Well, I was received much grace through people who God worked through with their hands and their feet. And hey, thank y'all for having us. Yeah. This is just absolutely fantastic for us.
We'll try to
make this a lot.
We'll try to remember to have them on a couple, maybe another time, once a year or something.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, we will ask our listeners to pray for your work. Because, and my friend, Brother Tim Lampley's here.
Yes.
He's one of the campus, he and his wife Lisa are campus directors at Water Valley, Mississippi.
That is correct.
And I know you have others who lead the homes and the villages. And that's a calling that I greatly admire because I don't think I could do it, what you guys do. It's just such a ministry, and it is just such a life impacting thing that you're doing. God bless you.
Thank y'all very much.
All right. That music means we are out of time for this hour, and we will return momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, if you live in the South, you better batten down the hatches never mind the South. You live in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Better go get the milk and bread.
You better move.
Kansas City is why we're battening down the hatches.
Well, I was thinking all the basketball goals that are about to go down in your yard if you don't get them laid down, because it's about to get 50-mile-an-hour winds here. We'll stay with us. We'll be back momentarily.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.